Today's Shir Masechta Menachos Daf Lamed Hes. We will begin on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of Amar Rav. Before we begin the Shir, we're going to give a few words of introduction regarding familiarizing ourselves with different terms of different parts of the tzitzis. We know that when we have tzitzis, when we go from the beged, moving downwards, we have the kanaf, which is the corner, and then we have the actual tzitzis. The tzitzis have the upper part, the part that's braided, which is called the gedil, and the gedil is made up of chulyas, separate parts that have tzitzis wound around them, looped around them. Those loops are called krichos, and each separate part is called a cholya. So we have cholyas that are wound around with krichos that make up the gedil, and the bottom part, the hanging strings, are either called the anaf or the psil. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, based on what we've been learning, that we learned at the end of the previous year, that the Bnei Rav Chiya taught us that gedume tzitzis, that if we have tzitzis, that part of the string, a very minimal part of the string remains, it's still a kosher tzitzis. From here we see, says Rava, Tzorach Likshur Av Kol Choya V'Choya. It's necessary to tie these choyas together with a knot. Could the Isal Kedaitach, if we're going to suggest the Loy Tzorach, it's not necessary to tie them together with a knot. And as the Chazon Ish explains, it was never a havamina of the Gemara that we don't have to tie them, because if we don't tie them, how will they stand? But the Gemara means is that a keshes shakayom is not required, a sturdy knot. If, says Rava, a sturdy knot, a keshes shakayom, were not required, hod amav nei Rav Chiya, this that we learned from the Bnei Rav Chiya that we quoted, that gedume tcheilus aksherim, that the strings, even if there's a minimal amount of the tcheilus, it's kosher, and so is the halacha regarding the gedume ezav that we discussed in the previous year. Why? asks Rava. Kiven ishtrei le'eloi ishtrei le'kula. If we don't need to have a firm knot, we need to be concerned that that knot will unravel. If the knot will unravel, we will not have any of the gil left, the gedil left. And as the Mefarshim explain our Gemara, even if we'll follow the opinion of Bnei Rav Chiya, which we do follow the opinion of the Bnei Rav Chiya, and we don't have to have, we even gedumim are left, that when we speak about the gedumim being sufficient, we only mean it as far as the still is concerned, as far as the anaf is concerned, as far as the hanging threads are concerned. But the gedil, Rava holds, always must remain there in shape. Now, if it's not going to be tied together properly with a good kesher, how will it remain? It must be that they are tied together properly. Says the Gemara, the proof is not necessarily a good proof. Because dilmat ikdri, the Bnei Rav Chiya, explains the Gemara, we're referring to a circumstance where there was indeed a proper kesher. And since there was a proper kesher, the gedil remained in place. And since the gedil remained in place, therefore the halacha is that even if there's only a minimal gedume, even if there's only a minimal amount of the hanging tzitzis left, it would be kosher. But indeed, let's say we had a situation where the gedil wasn't tied, knotted properly. There, Bnei Rav Chiya would hold that if the tzitzis ripped, the tzitzis would be possible. They were not referring to such a situation. They were referring to a situation where it was knotted properly. But as Mefarshim go on to explain, even though Rava's proof has been somewhat questioned, Rava still holds, as he said, and Rava holds, and so is the halacha, as we'll see further, that the tzitzis must be knotted properly. Continues the Gemara of Omer Rabba. Shmamina Keshe Elyon Deraisa. We can learn based on what we know is the halacha, that the kesher, the knot that connects the gedila, the kesher on the tzitzis, is a kesher deraisa. Now there's a very big machlokes rishonim. What does the Gemara mean with the kesher elyon? Many rishonim explain that the kesher elyon means is meant the kesher next to the beged. The first knot next to the beged has to be tied with a real kesher. However, many Rishonim seem to learn that the kesher is actually, the kesher elyon that the Gemara says, refers to, is the bottom kesher. Because we start counting the sharim, the knots on the tzitzis, from bottom up. Why do we start counting from bottom up? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is, because if you were to open up the braid of the tzitzis, you would open it from the bottom. Another pshat is that, as we've been discussing ripped strings of the tzitzis, the ripped strings, we count the knot closest to the hanging strings. Another pshat is because when somebody picks up the tzitzis, that knot is the knot that's on top when you're lifting up the tzitzis. And therefore, That is what the Gemara means by Kesher Elyon according to Rav Rishonim. Says the Gemara, whatever pshat we follow, knotting the tzitzis to the, knotting the braids, knotting the strings to the tzitzis, is a chi of midaraisa. For says the Gemara, the Isal Kedaitach, if one were to think that it's only obligated midrabbonim, if so, asked the Gemara, might itzrich lemishri sadin betzitzis? We've learned that we're going to spend much time in our shiurim understanding that the Torah tells us that shatness is mutter by tzitzis. Why is shatness mutter by tzitzis? Because as we're going to learn, one of the begadim, one of the types of garments that certainly require to have tzitzis is a linen beged, and tcheles is always wool. To be considered tcheles, it doesn't just mean that it's dyed with the chilazon dye, as we'll discuss in this parak, but it means much more than that. It means wool is dyed. So if tchelis by definition must mean wool, and a beged that's made out of pishtim is mechuyev in tzitzis, so we see from here, as we will discuss, that the Torah is teaching us that shatness is not an issue when it comes to the mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, says the Gemara, if there is no requirement for the tzitzis to be knotted to the beged, might itzrich l'mishri sadna b'tzitzis. Why does the Torah have to teach us that you could wear shatness by tzitzis? Pshita. Hatayk of tchifa achas and a chibur. What you should do is just put what, this way Rashi learns, just put the tzitzis into the hole. That won't be considered a connection with the raisa, and won't, because it's not a knot, and therefore you could have the best of both worlds. You could have your tzitzis, and you haven't violated the issur of shatness. If the Torah has to go out of its way to tell us that by tzitzis shatness is mutter, it must be shmamina deraisa. The one must knot the tzitzis to the beged. When you're knotting the tzitzis to the beged, when you're knotting semer to tishton, you have shatness. It must be, because the obligation of putting the tzitzis on the beged is by making a knot. Machloikus Rishonim as what is exactly considered a knot. Rashi seems to learn that by putting the tzitzis into the hole on the beged and then knotting those tzitzis, making a knot, that's considered a connection. Other Rishonim seem to learn that since the knots that are made are double knots, kesher gabi kesher, and a kesher gabi kesher is considered a knot, is considered a chibur midaraisa, that there should be an issue of shatness, and that's what Rabbi said, that that's the way the tzitzis must be knotted. There's a beautiful vart, the Rav Menachem Zemba, Hashem Yom Kom Domai, said at the second seam hashas of the Daf Yomi. He said, Al Gemara says, Kesha Elyon Daraisa. So he said to the one they had Torah, the one they, the Mesaime Hashas, Kesha Elyon. If somebody wants to be Kesher, if somebody wants to be connected Elyon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way one becomes connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Daraisa, is through learning Torah. Kesha Elyon. If we want to be connected to Hashem, Daraisa, we shall learn Torah. Continues the Gemara. Rav Baravada Amarav Ada Amarav. In Nifsak Echut Mikura, even though we've been discussing the connection and if tzitzis tear, what when will they still be kosher and when not? Says the Gemara, Nifsak Echut Mikura, if the knot, if the tzitzis as it's attached to the hole gets cut, it's possible. So the Karen Oyer asks, obviously, if it's cut where it's actually put into the hole, it's possible. What is the Gemara coming to teach us? So he says a beautiful pshat. He says what the Gemara referring to here is, as we're going to learn on the base, there are four strings put into the hole. And then after you have the four strings, they make the different braids. And after they make the different braids, they then have the hanging string. Teaches us the Gemara that let's say if you have one of those strings snipped, it's still going to stand. The reason it's still going to stand is because you have all of the braids and the knots and everything keeping it together. Yet the Gemara teaches us if it's cut at the very place where it's connected to the beged, it's possible. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rav Nachman Kamalol HaShmatzah. Rav Nachman was sitting and saying over this Gemara. Eisei Rav Rav Nachman, so yes, B'medvar Amurim, when do we say that the tzitzis have to be done properly? B'tchilosoi. When somebody is making the tzitzis, they have to make them properly. Av b'soifod, if the tzitzis tore after they were made properly, the halacha is shiurav v'gadumav kolshehu. As long as you have a kolshehu on the shiurav and the gadumav, the tzitzis remain kosher. Ask the Gemara, my shiurav or my gadumav? What is meant by shiurav and gadumav? My lav, doesn't the brisa mean? Shiura means the ifsik minayu, v'shtay minayu, means that some of the tzitzis was torn at the place where it's put into the hole. And gerdumov means shiura of the ifsik minayu, v'shtay minayu, some of it was ripped and the rest was left. And gerdumov means that gerdumagdume, that was completely ripped, it was completely severed at the place that it's attached to the hole. So doesn't this seem to teach us that if it's completely severed at the place that it's attached to the hole, the tzitzis are still kosher? So the Maraloi, that's not the way to understand this brisa. For the halacha will be that if the tzitzis are severed at the place where they're connected, the tzitzis are possible. The brisa is only referring to chadik tani. The brisa is only referring to one situation. What is the situation the Braise is teaching us? Shi'ure gedumav kolshehu. The Braise is teaching us the halacha that we learned in the previous year from the Bnei Reb Chiya, that if you have some of the gedumav left over, then the tzitzis are kosher. Ask the Gemara. But if the Braise is only speaking to the part of the hanging thread, the hanging string, and the Bryce is teaching us that those hanging strings, as long as you have a minimal amount, the tzitzis remain kosher, again, provided that the tzitzis were made properly in the first place. So why did the Bryce have to teach us, speak about Shior and Gadumov? The lame of Gadumov. So the Bryce should have just spoken about that Gadumov. Shior of Lomeli. Why did the Bryce also have to speak about the Shior of? Answers the Gemara. Hakamashmon. Because the Bryce wants to teach us the halacha that we learned in the previous shir, the biyuna shiur l'gadumav, that the gadumav do have to have a shir. What is the shir? As we learned in the previous shir, kedei la'anvon, enough to make a knot. But if you don't have even that minimal amount, that the tzitzis will be possible. But as we just started this piece of Gemara, the halacha will be that if the tzitzis are torn at the place where they're placed in the hole, then those tzitzis will indeed be possible. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rav Makamish made Rav. Rav said, instead of the name of the Rav, Chrut Shakarach, the string, the way tzitzis are typically made, is that the four tzitzis are put into the hole, and then once one strand is longer than all the other strands, that's, and the Gemara is teaching us that that one long strand, which is used to go around all the other strands, Olam and Aminyan, is considered one of the eight, or one of the eight strings that we have to have in the tzitzis. So the Rishonim and the Achronim ask, why would we think differently? So one pshat that I saw, because as we started at the beginning of our shir, that the tzitzis require gedil and psil. So we would think that the string that creates the gedil, the string that creates the braid, cannot be counted towards the psil. That's why the Mishnah teaches us that it's acceptable. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that since this string, very similar pshat, since this string is used to go around the other strings, so since it's not serving the, so I would think since it's only there to go around the other string, it should not have its own independent identity as one of the eight strings. That's why the Mishnah teaches us that it still can be considered one of the eight strings of the tzitzis. Sfasemis says a chiddush that if that entire string was used up for making the loops, the tzitzis are still kosher even if none of that string is left to hang on the bottom. The Briskerov says a different nice pshat. The Briskerov explains that we quoted the opinion of the Rambam in our previous year, that the Rambam says that only half of one string was used for to be tchelis, and the purpose of that half string was to be the string which the loops were made. So we would think that since that's a very specific purpose, it's the tchelis to make the loops, it should not be kosher, it should not be considered towards the other string obligations. Teaches us the Gemara that accomplishes two goals. It's the tchelis, which is used to make the loops, and it also serves the purpose that it's considered one of the eight hanging strings. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rabbi Yosef, Shmuel Amra, Shmuel said this halacha, v'loi Rav. It wasn't said by Rav. It manami, and so do we indeed learn, Amar Rav Vabachana, Sochli Rabbi Oisha de Menusha, Chut Shakarach, this string that's used to make the loops, Oilem and Aminyan, could be considered one of the threads that you need for the tzitzis. Continues the Gemara. Yosef Rav Vakavim Shmei Shmuel. Tchela Shakarach Ruba. If most of the tchelis was used for making the braids, Sheir, it's still kosher. For as we're going to learn in a moment, really you're supposed to have more hanging string than braid. Still, the halacha is that if you didn't do it that way, mostly was used up for the braid, it's still kosher. Very big machlokes rishonim. How to learn this Gemara? Rashi says that even though the Gemara uses the word tchelis, it doesn't mean specifically the tchelis. It means the tzitzis. And the Gemara is teaching us that the threads of the strings of the tzitzis were primarily used for making the braid, it's still kosher. The Nemuki Yosef disagrees. He says, and the Briskerov says, so learns the Rambam, that it means specifically the tchelis. The tchelis can be used, if one went and used the tchelis and primarily used the tchelis for the braid, and this very minimal hanging tchelis, it's still kosher. But for the white threads, that would not be the halacha. But the white threads, we must have a sufficient amount of hanging thread to be kosher. The Muki Yosef makes a very interesting point. Muki Yosef says, as we learned in the previous year, some of the white threads that we have today really are in the place of the blue threads, because we don't have any tchelis. And therefore we have to be careful, according to all the shitas, according to this shita, even with the white threads, we have to be careful, we have to know which one is the white thread, and some white threads are for the white, and some are just seicha for the blue. So it says the Gemara again, tchelis shekarach ruba, if mostly it was made into braid, it's kosher. Amr Rav Yosef, Rav Amra, this was said by Rav Eloy Shmuel. Ibn Nami, Amr Rav Yehuda, Amr Rav Sheshes, Amr Rav Yemi Ba'arva, Amr Rav, Tchela Shekara Chuba, if it was mostly braided, it's Kshela. Says the Gemara, Chiba Reider of Nostam Masni Hochi. Amr Rav Hun, Amr Rav Sheshes, Amr Rav Yemi Ba'arva, Amr Rav, Tchela Shekara Chuba, if most of the Tchela was braided, and most of the Tzitzis is braided, it's Kosher. Vafilo Ekarach Ba'el Chulya Achas, even if there was only one linked, braided, it's also kosher. Although the Gemara in a moment will learn what is the proper way of doing it. The noy tchelis, but what is the right way to do it? Shlish gedil, one third should be braided, with shnei shlishi onas, and two thirds should be hanging. That is the preferable way of making the tzitzis. And the poskim go on to explain that this is the shear of tzitzis is Yudbeis Goydlin, and when we have 12 Goydlin being the entire shear of the tzitzis, we should have this one-third, two-third ratio. Interesting shayla that the poskim discuss. What is if somebody has more than Yudbeis Goydlin, longer tzitzis? Should we keep the same ratio or not? The Marshal seems to learn that we don't have to keep that ratio. The Chazon Ish I saw feels that you should always keep the two-third, one-third ratio. But it's also interesting to point out that the Ramah already says, we're going to spend a lot of time in Mitzvah Shem and tomorrow's shir discussing that tzitzis, if they're done passive loim and osli, if the tzitzis are first made and then they're placed on the beged, that's the simplest way of learning, not that they're tied after they're put onto the beged, that tzitzis is possible because of tassav loy min osri. Says the Rama, let's say somebody puts the tzitzis on his beged, and then he discovers that the strings are too long, he may cut those strings, and it will not be considered tassav loy min osri. Says the Gemara, how big does every link of the braid have to be? Says the Gemara, Tanya Rebbe Oimer, Kadesh Yichroi Fi Yishna Vi Yishalish. Which means the minimal amount that has to be is to have three loops. However, says the Gemara, Tana, Hapoiches lo yifches misheva, if somebody's making links, he shouldn't make less than seven links. Vamoisif lo yosef ashloish asrei, he shouldn't have more than 13. Hapoiches lo yifches misheva, shouldn't make less than seven links, connected shiva rikia, because of the seven heavens. Vamoisif lo yosef ashloish asrei, don't make more than 13. Kidneged Shiva Rakim, corresponding to the seven heavens, the Shiva Erim, the Shiva Avir, Mishabineim, and the six spaces between those seven heavens. So we just explained the Gemara, as Rashi explains the Gemara, that the Gemara here is referring to how many links, how many chulya should you have, and the Gemara is saying that we shouldn't have less than seven and more than 13. Of course, the question is, if that's shot in the Gemara, when we look at our tzitzis, we only have four cholyas. So we're not following our Gemara. So how do we understand this? So the Rishonim have two ways of explaining. One way of explaining, the Rishonim suggest, is that this din that you have to have a minimum of seven, a maximum of 13, is only when you have white, loven, and tchelis. Since our tzitzis don't have tchelis, therefore we don't have, this entire din doesn't apply. Other Rishonim, however, explain that in essence we perhaps do. Because they suggest that when they had tchelis, the way they had the tzitzis was exactly like our tzitzis, that they had four cholyas. But every cholya was, the first cholya, the second cholya, and the third cholya, were made up half of white and half of tchelis. And the Gemara considers every change of color a new cholya. So if the first cholya had half loved and half tchelis, and so the second and so the third, we already have six cholyas. The last cholya was made completely up of white, that's equal seven, and that's how they had seven cholyas with only five spaces, like our tzitzis, and that's why our tzitzis are exactly the way the tzitzis were made, even Bizman Chazal. However, Tosfos and other Rishonim explain that when the Gemara here means chuyus, when the Gemara says it shouldn't be less than 7 and more than 13, it doesn't mean to the amount of links, but it really means the amount of loops. Now the Gemara saying is you should not have less than 7 loops around and not more than 13, which is very much in line with what we have. Because everybody agrees that the first link has 7 loops. There's a machloikis if the second link should have 8 or 9. The third has 11, and the fourth has 13. So we have the number 7 and we have the number 13, which are the numbers the Gemara mentions. And as the Rishonim explained, what is so significant that the Gemara wants to speak about the sky? What's the connection between the sky and tzitzis? So they explain, as we're going to learn later in our perek, that what is so significant about the tchelis? Tchelis doim liyam, liyam doim lirkiya, rikiya doim lirkiya covered. So we see there's a connection between the tzitzis and the sky. And now, since our first loop has 7 and our last loop has 13, we indeed are fulfilling what the Gemara says. Why do we have 7, 8, or 7, 9, 11, 13? So the Beis Yosef already discusses this, because he says the Shem Hashem, Yudke Vovke, equal 26. The gematria of the word Echod is 13. 26 plus 13 equals 39. And that's why there's a minhag to have 7, 8, 11, and 13, which equals 39. Another pshat has the second one having 9, because we include the tzitzis itself to be 40, and that's why we want to equal the number 40. That's why it's 7, 9, 11, 13. Two minhagim, what to do in terms of the second loop. Rashi goes on to say, why do our tzitzis have this makeup of the way the way we have the tzitzis look? So Rashi says, we know that the word tzitzis is the gematria 600. Then we have 8 strands is 608. And the way our tzitzis work is we have 5 knots equals 613, keneged the tariag mitzvahs, corresponding to the 613 mitzvahs that we have. The problem that we try to find with this pshat is that the Torah, when it spells tzitzis, spells it tzadik yod tzadik sof, which doesn't equal 600, it equals 590. So how does Rashi say that tzitzis is the gematria 600? So there are two answers that the Rishonim give. One answer is that even though the ksiv, even though the way the Torah writes the word tzitzis, is without a yud after the second tzadik, but the kri, the way it's pronounced, is with a yud after the second tzadik, so that's how we get to the number 600. Taisus has a different pshat. Taisus says that the pasuk says, "V'hayu lachem litzitzis," and Taisus says that that lamid at the beginning of the word tzitzis is superfluous. So we have an extra 30. Lamid is the gematria 30. So it covers for the missing yud from every time the word tzitzis, which it's mentioned 3 times in the parasha, is mentioned. It's covered with that superfluous 30. There's a very interesting tshuva from the Sam Sofer, and the Shlah discusses this, based on our Gemara. Our Gemara is teaching us that the amount of chulyus or krichus, whatever pshat we follow, we're supposed to have in the tzitzis, is either 7 or 13, and one may not deviate from what Chazal said. And yet, asked the Sam Sofer, that we find that in certain areas of halacha, where Chazal give a number, and we deviate from the number. One example is that the halacha is one supposed to light 2 candles Erev Shabbos, Echad keneged Zohar, v'Echad keneged Shomer. But we know that the minhag is that every time somebody has another child, they add a candle. Or we know that the Ramah says that if a woman missed lighting candles one Friday, she should make it up by every Shabbos from afterwards, adding an extra candle. But if Chazal said that the number is 2, Zohar v'Shomer, how can we change and add candles? Or, we know that the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah teaches us that on the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, we're supposed to say 10 Psukim, Malchias 10 Psukim by Zechronius, 10 by Zechronius, 10 Psukim by Shoifers. Yet, the halacha is that if one wants to say more Psukim than that, they may. Yet, our Gemara is teaching us that you're not allowed to deviate from what Chazal said. So the Rishonim already say that deviating when it comes to a tefillah, deviating when it comes to tefillah, adding words to tefillah is certainly unacceptable, because that's the situation of a hefsek. But what about in other areas halacha? When is the rule that you have to follow the exact number, and when may you add? So the Chasam Sofer and I think the Shlo are both saying the following verse. They say as follows: we have to see what was the reason that the number was given, and what was the reason of the whole rule. For example, the halacha is that on Shabbos we have to light candles on Friday afternoon. Why do we have to light candles on Friday afternoon? Because Ner Shabbos brings Eilut Shabbos. So the minimum we have to have is two candles. If you're going to have more candles, which will bring more Eilut Shabbos, so that's the whole purpose of the Takana. And certainly you may add candles. Similarly, what's the reason that we say Temp Sukkim, Zechronish, Shoifers, Malchis? The reason we say those Temp Sukkim is to speak about Hashem. So Chazal taught us that the minimum is 10 psukim. But if somebody wants to be Meshabeach Hashem by saying even more, fantastic! Because that's exactly what we're trying to accomplish, to be Meshabeach Hashem. Here, however, Chazal saw that this, and the Gemara gave even the reason for it, why does a specific purpose in the number 7? Why does a specific significance to the number 13? If there's specific significance to these numbers, we may not deviate from what Chazal said. Continues the Gemara, Tana, Shumaschel, when somebody begins to circle the threads, Maschel Beloven, he begins with a white thread. Why? Because the Torah says, Hakonof min Konof. Because Shumasayim, when he finishes, the sign Beloven he should also use with a white thread. Because Ma'al Makash Shalem Aridim. So I saw two Pshatim in the Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. One Pshat I saw in the Rishonim is because that the white is considered holier than the Tchelis, so we want to end with the higher Madrega with the white. Rishonim have a difficulty accepting this, because why is the loving considered more Kadosh than the Tchelis? And therefore another Pshat that I saw is that we're speaking about the white itself. It would be embarrassing to the white if we started with white threads and ended with Tchelis, as if that's not the right way to end. This concept, Amal Mekodesh V'loy Meridin, is specifically a concept that's used in Hilchas Tzitzis, in a few Shailos in Halacha. One place that I saw is that many people have a minig that they have an atara, a silver collar on the Tzitzis. Where did this come from? So the Mefarshim explain that because the Tzitzis, the talus, gadol, is one big piece of material, and if we wouldn't have a way of knowing what is the top and what is the bottom, today you may wear one side as the top, and tomorrow you may wear another side as the top. And the Gemara teaches us that when it came to the crushin, when it came to the boards used in the Mishkan, a carriage that was put in a specific place should never be put in another place. Here too, Ma'al Bekadosh V'loy Meridin, if this beged was used and this part of the beged was the top, it would be inappropriate that it should be used then at the bottom of your body. And therefore, by having that Torah, you always know what's the top and what's the bottom. We know it's, some communities did make an Torah, do wear a Torah, some communities do not. Another place that I saw this question comes up is if someone's palace gadol is no longer usable as a talus gadol, to one turn it into a talus kavan. And there are places that want to suggest, again because of the reason a Ma'al Bekadosh V'loy Meridin, that it would be inappropriate to take a talus gadol and make it into a talus kavan. I saw that other places can disagree, and their opinion is better to make the talus gadol into a talus kavan than to not use it at all. Says the Gemara, Rav Bar Chuna have a Yasri. Have a kochalof ozahu gavi. There was an individual walking by. The mechsi gleamed at kula tchelta. They was wearing a garment that was completely made out of tchelus. V'ramle tchelta, and he had tchelus attached to it. V'gdilim begidol, and it was entirely braided. None of it was left out as psil, as onof, as hanging threads. Amarav, your gleamer. The beged is a nice beged, and in fact, from here, The Rishonim say, we have a rai that wants to go out of his way to have a nice beged for his tzitzis, and the loyof tchelta. But the tchelis is not nice, because you're supposed to have hanging threads. Rav Avachan Omer, yod lima, yod tchelta. It's fine. It's fine even if none of it is hanging. Says the Gemara, but my kemuski, what is the basis of their machlokes? Says the Gemara, Rav Avachan Sover, ksiv gdil, ksiv psil. The Torah uses both words to teach us, oy gdil, oy psil. You could have either or. Rav Sover, l'oylom psil bim. It's not that you could have either or, you have to have psil. Vahi gdila, and when the Torah says gdilim, the minyanim to us, it's teaching us, come to teach us the amount of strands we have to make up the tzitzis. As Gemara explains, gdil, the word gedil by itself means shnayim, two strands. Gedilim means four. And the Torah is teaching us to say gedil, put in the fringes, and then paslei mutechu, and then have them hanging from it. Continues the Gemara. As we discussed at the beginning of our shir, the halacha is that tzitzis can be shatnas. Says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Mishmei de Levi, Chutei Tzemer, you could have woolen thread, Paita Mishal Pishkan, even if the garment is made up of linen. Ibai Luhu, ask the Gemara, Shal Pishkan, Ma'ashi Yifta Bishal Tzemer. What would be the halacha if you have white threads of linen on a wool garment? Do we say, Tzemer Bishal Pishkan Lepata? Does Shmuel mean to say that white threads of wool in a garment of linen is fine? Why? The key in the tchelis patra, since, as we said at the beginning of Shia, tchelis by definition is always wool. So once the tchelis is wool, love and nami patra, so we could have even the white also be made out of wool on a linen garment? Avo pishna b'tzemeloi, were you to have a wool beged, that there is no reason to have the dispensation for shatness. There would not be a heter to have linen threads. A dilma, or the way to understand it, kivin the ksiv like silver shatness, tzem pish and yachtav, gedilim kasloch. The Torah teaches us loishnot tzem pish. The Torah is teaching us that just like we're allowed to have wool on linen, we could have linen threads on a wool beged. So according to Rashi, the Gemara is not, our Gemara is teaching us that certainly wool could be put on linen. Certainly wool could be put on linen for the tchelis. And the Gemara's question is, and even on the white, the Gemara's question is, can we use linen tzitzis on, linen tzitzis in a wool garment, can we put that on? Tosfos disagrees, because Rashi is assuming that the tzitzis have to be the same material as the garment. Tosfos disagrees, and he says that the Gemara's question is to understand how far does the heter of shatness apply by tzitzis, and does it override the isser of shatness in all cases? In the case of a linen garment, shatness is unavoidable because the tchelis is wool. Or is it mean even by linen garment the isser of shatness is completely overridden? But the question that many Rishayim ask is, why would we want to override the Isser of Shatness if we don't have to? Yes, we understand that on a linen beged we have to put tchelis, and the only way to do it is by having shatness. But why would we be allowed to put on linen tzitzis? Why would we be allowed to put on wool white tzitzis on a linen beged when we could put on linen tzitzis? So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that the Gemara is assuming that unlike other areas where we say Eser Doicha Loisa say, that we only are Doicha the Loisa say when we have no choice. Like Tzitzis, Eser Doicha Loisa say says that there is no Eser Shatness at all. Another way I sort of try to explain is that our Gemara is referring to a situation that since we're overriding the Isser with the wool Tchelis on the linen baguette, so Migui, since we're overriding it with the wool, we could override it with the linen as well, with the white as well. Another pshat is that indeed, the Rashba says this pshat, that if there were linen white threads available, the halacha would be that you can't take wool white threads. Our Gemara is referring to a situation where the person doesn't have white linen threads available, and that's why you could take the white wool threads. Really, this entire question hinges on another question. If we have a situation of shatness, that means we have the wool tchelus threads on the linen beged, may we, if adding more wool, white threads, is that considered expanding the Isser shatness? Some achrayim say that once the Isser has been violated, once we already have a beged of shatness, there's no more Isser, doesn't make a difference how much more. Others say that it is going to be such a situation, but it's only the Rabbanan, it's a category of Ribi Bishurim. Yet others say that it's Shatnes Gomer, and really, you could probably connect this Machloikas Achroinim to the Machloikas Rishonim that we quoted. Toshma, Damer Chava Amar Yehuda, Chute Tzemer, Poitim Shal Pishtim. Wood threads could be put on a linen garment. The Shal Pishtim, linen threads, could be put on a wool garment. Chute Tzemer Pishtim. Furthermore, no matter what beged you have, you could always use linen or wool thread, become makayim, but feel b'shiroyim even with silk garments. Or pligid Rav Nachman. So now we have an answer that you could use shatness under all circumstances. However, this opinion that was just cited is in disagreement with Rav Nachman. Said the other Rav Nachman, hashiroyim p'turim tzitzis. We just said that even b'shiroyim you could put on semeru pishtim. And this man says the shiroyim are p'turim mitzitzis. Ask the Gemara, how could Rav Nachman say that shiroyim are p'turim mitzitzis, that silk garments are p'turim mitzitzis? Eisei Rav lo Rav Nachman, it says in a braisa shiroyim, which is silk, the klach, and the sirikin have different types of silk, kul and chayav mitzitzis. Answers the Gemara, that braisa means it's drabon. And as Tosfos says, so why didn't the Gemara right away say that in explaining Rav Nachman? The Rav Nachman holds it's only the Rabbana. Answer Tosfos, because the Amora is supposed to explain himself. A Braisa doesn't have to be that explicit. Ask the Gemara, Yehoki Emes Sefer, let's continue learning that Braisa. The Kulan, Semu, Pishnah, Parchimhen. You could always have threads of wool and linen. Yeah, Mishlam, the Raisa. If we're going to say that Demachuiv and Tzitzis Medaraisa, high in the mystery by coin. That's why you could have tzitzis that are wool and linen. Some of the threads are wool and some of them are linen, and put them on a beged, even though by doing so you're making klayim. But because of the chiv the raisa of tzitzis, it overrides the issa klayim. Eli amit rabbanon heich mishter beklayim. If the entire obligation to put tzitzis on that bag is midrabanon, how can we put together wool and linen threads which will create klayim? Answers the Gemara. Aim of the way to understand the braisa is oitzem oitzem. When you have a silk beged, your tzitzis have to be all completely wool or all completely linen. But they can't be wool and linen together. And says the Gemara, hachnam mistabra, in the Tani Sefer, the braisa continues. Hey, if you have silk threads, b'mina, if the beged is made out of silk, poitrin, shloi b'mina, but if they're not made out of silk, ain't a poitrin. I'm b'shlom d'rabonon, if we're going to say that they're not m'chui, they're only m'chui m'drabonon, haina the miftir of b'mina. That's why you could put on silk threads. Eli am d'raisa. But if you're going to say that these garments are m'chui in sits m'draisa, semru pishtin apartar. Only tzemer pishtim could be used for tzitzis, nothing else. It's obvious that the obligation to put tzitzis on a silk garment is only midrabon. Said the Gemara, that isn't the raya, because we could explain that brisa like Rav explained. The Rav Aron. On one hand, the pasuk says that konof min konof, that the tzitzis should be made out of the same material as the garment, the ksif. And another place it says tzemru pishtim, that the threads are made out of wool or linen. Hakeitzit. Tzemru pishtim. When you have tzemru pishtim, poitrim beim minon, beim shloim minon. No matter what the garment is made out of, threads that are made out of wool or linen are fine. Shar minon. But when they're made out of other situation, other types of threads, the minon, if the threads are the same type as the garment, poitrim, shloim minon and poitrim. So silk could be is mechuy medaraisa, but silk tzitzis could only be put on a silk baggage. Samuel Pishtin can be put on any baggage. Rav Nachman that says that silk garments are not mechuyiv in tzitzis, to the Tana Debei Rav Yishmol. The Tana Debei Rav Yishmol, however, remember regarding the Torah Stam. The Torah uses the words begodim in many places. V'atart l'chakos v'echmehem. And in one situation, the Torah says begodim means Samuel Pishtin. Af kol, anywhere where the Torah says begodim means Samuel Pishtin. So, according to him, Semer and Pishtim are only begotten that are mechuyiv in tzitzis. Omar Abai, the high Tana Debei Rav Yishmol. This Tana that we just quoted from Yishmol, Mapach Me'idah Tana Debei Rav Yishmol, is different than a different Bryce that we learned in the Yeshiva of Yishmol. The Tana Debei Rav Yishmol, Begid, Enli Ela Begid Semer, only a woolen Begid, Menayim Rabbit Semer of Malim, Tzeva Novim, Venutu Shal Izim, Haklach Vesroim Vesroim, Menayim, Hamalayim Ha'ay Begid. From here we see that any beged is mechuyiv in tzitzis. So we have here in the Gemara machloikis habraisis, if only tzemer u'pishtin are mechuyiv in tzitzis, or all begodim are mechuyiv in tzitzis midaraisa. Tosfos, the Rosh, and the Ramah follow the opinion of Rava that all materials require tzitzis from that Torah. The Rif, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, passing like Rav Nachman, that only wool or linen are mechuyiv in tzitzis d'oraisa. As the Mishnah Berurah explains, there's some very real ramifications between this machloikis. The first and the most obvious is that one should, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the Rif, and the Rambam, try to wear tzitzis that are specifically made out of wool or linen, the beggar. Another nafkamina, if somebody's wearing tzitzis that's, let's say, made out of cotton, and on the Shabbos he discovers that, and he discovers in the street that he's wearing tzitzis that are posel, since, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, a few blad ago, that Kavod HaBrius takes precedence over Isur Rabbanan, then he would be allowed to continue wearing it. If, however, it's a chiyuv d'oraisa to wear tzitzis, there's no room for such a leniency according to Ramah, because the chiyuv of tzitzis d'oraisa, and by d'oraisa we don't say go with kvod habrius. And therefore, as we said, the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes the Elior Rabba, I saw a Moshe Nigris Moshe says this also very in a number of places, one should try to fulfill the mitzvah tzitzis only with wool or linen. It's interesting, however, that the Sefer Maaseh Rav quotes the Vilna Gaon saying that he wore cotton tzitzis. And I saw two explanations why he did so. The Siach L'Yor says that in those days undershirts were made out of linen. And if you would have wool tzitzis, the grower was concerned, the wool on top of the linen may be shakness. The Chazon Ish says that the Vilna Gaon wanted to show the world that you could fulfill the mitzvah with cotton, and that's why he wore cotton tzitzis, but really it's preferable to be a wool. Another pshat that I saw is that the Vilna Gaon wore a talus kavel all day. So since the Vilna Gaon wore a talus kavel all day, which was made out of wool, he didn't care that the talus cotton was made out of cotton. But we who do not wear a talus kavel all day should try to wear a talus cotton. We would have a problem with shakness if it was made out of linen. We should wear a woolen talus cotton. Another interesting question that I saw that the Pais can discuss is that how could we have linen tzitzis, silk tzitzis, I mean, when we know that silk is a worm that we're not allowed to eat. And we learned in Amos Sechta that there's a din of an amuta b'picha. Only what we may put in our mouth should be used for tzitzis. So it should be used for davar shebekedusha. In fact, I saw the Shas Tshuvas Torah Lishma says that for that reason we should refrain from silk tzitzis and a silk beged. However, the Samsofer says that the din of amuta b'picha is only by tashmish kedusha, tefillin, a sefer Torah. It doesn't apply to tzitzis. Another pshat that I saw is a very nice pshat from the Nezer HaKadosh. He explains, when does the Torah say min amuta b'picha? When the Torah says that you should make something made out of an animal, so the Torah tells us that what animal should be used? Only a kosher animal, min amuta b'picha. But where the Torah doesn't require that something be made out of animal, tzitzis, as we just learned, can be made out of linen, there the din, amuta b'picha, that only a kosher species may be used, will not apply.